next on Packers Today.
Hey, I know we play for today. Play for each other.
A new week, a new opportunity for the Packers to right the ship. Tonight, they're in the nation's capital on prime time and ready to face the team they ousted from the playoffs a season ago. The Packers haven't been at full strength since week one, but tonight, they're expecting a couple of key pieces to return. It's the 5-3-1 Washington Redskins against the 4-5 Green Bay Packers. Larry and I break down tonight's primetime matchup next.
We need to give our defense some confidence by putting some points in some early drives.
We just got to catch, tackle, and not give up explosive plays.
It's going to be a good test on primetime.
Hello and welcome to Packers Today, presented by Verizon. Ted Stefaniak along with Larry McCarron. Packers getting ready for a primetime Sunday night game. We've got a little bit of a wait, but while we're waiting, we're going to fill a little bit of time for you here.
Well, good.
Tell you what, you know, you walk around Lambeau Field, the organization, very high standards. Of course, the fans and the media, they have high expectations too. And you fall below 500, the criticism starts pouring in, but all is not lost yet.
No, Ted, just look at the standings in the NFC North. The Packers are a game out. Everything they hope to accomplish, they think they can accomplish, it's still out there for them.
For the players, the focus is one game at a time. But for the fans, it's a different story. Here's a look at the NFC North standings. The Packers are just one game back of Detroit and Minnesota. There's still too much football left to be played to start talking about tiebreakers and wild card scenarios, but the Packers can improve their playoff chances with a win against a familiar foe tonight. We take you back to last year's wild card contest against the Redskins. First time these two teams have met in the playoffs since 1972. First quarter, Kirk Cousins adds to a 5-0 lead with a 24-yard strike to Jordan Reed. Washington controlling things early. Final minute of the first half, Packers trail 11-10. Aaron Rodgers puts the Packers in front as he finds Devontae Adams in the back corner of the end zone. Packers up 17-11 at the break. Just over 4 minutes left in the third, Packers trailing 18-17. But James Starks makes a man miss on his way with a 4-yard score. Packers with a 24-18 lead. Defense helps ice things away in the fourth. Nick Perry registers a big sack of Cousins on fourth down. Packers punch their ticket to the divisional round with a 35-18 win. Well, anytime you pick up a playoff win, that's a great win. But that was last year. This is a little bit of a different team. What do you see from them on film?
Well, first of all, Ted, the more I watch the Washington Redskins, the more I like them as a football team. They kind of grow on you. The other thing I've noticed, I think the whole is greater than the sum of their parts. They play real well together as a team. And the final thing I've noticed is that they're not going to beat themselves. They don't do the dumb things. They don't blow coverages. They don't throw the ball to the other guys very much or fumble it away. Just play pretty smart football. And for more on those Washington Redskins, here's this week's scouting report brought to you by CarMax. Five things you need to know about the Washington Redskins.
The Packers came back from an 11-0 deficit to beat Washington 35-18 during the playoffs last season.
Lacy up the middle, pearls his way to the end zone for the touchdown!
14 Redskins starters remain the same, but their play is different.
Personally, I think they're a better team today than they were then.
Great catch, and it's a Redskins touchdown.
Toss Murray around the right end. Now he looks to throw. Off the right side of the end zone. The roster open. Touchdown, Tennessee.
The Packers didn't have much success covering the tight end in Tennessee, and the challenge only grows against the Redskins. Check it out. Both Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis are wide open for touchdowns.
Going down the sideline, caught up the five, and he is in for a Redskins touchdown!
They like our receivers, if you ask me, and they're very fast, very physical. Those two guys that we have on our watch list, for sure.
fun with numbers. The Redskins are fourth in total offense. They can move the ball, except in the red zone. Washington has scored just 14 TDs in 36 tries, and their 38% conversion rate is last in the league.
You don't look too much into it. You got to play each play as its own. And then hopefully when we get in the red zone, we'll be able to hold that statistic true.
Cornerback Josh Norman was a big free agent acquisition. But outside of him, there's not a lot of star power on the Redskins' defense. The strength of that wolf is in the pack.
He's going to get sacked. He's sacked and this game is over.
I think when teams are at their best is when they're playing together and can kind of lean on one another and they know what each other are going to do and they can feed off that.
Washington can wreak some special teams havoc with Jamison Crowder, who leads the NFL in punt returns. But for the Packers, this game is not about him or even the Redskins. It's about the team in the mirror.
We're going to stick together. Nobody's going to start pointing fingers. Nobody's going to start playing the blame game. We're in this thing together. All of our names are on it. So we're all going to find a way to come together and get this thing turned around.
Back on three. 1, 2, 3.
Well, Washington's got a really good quarterback on top of all those other great things. Kirk's playing really well right now.
Yeah, he kind of had his breakthrough, Ted, last season, and he's taken it a step further this season. A real deal quarterback the Packers are facing once again.
And then he's got some great targets to throw to as well. You talked about the tight ends, but how about the veteran wide receivers, DeSean Jackson and, of course, Pierre Garçon?
Well, they've got guys that lend something special to the party. DeSean Jackson, he's the guy, and he returned, didn't play against the Vikings last week, returned to practice this week. He's the guy that can take the top off the defense. And then in the slot, they have Jamison Crowder, who doesn't have that kind of top-end speed that Jackson does, but he's got a sudden kind of quickness, creates instant separation in the slot. And then the guy that's kind of a combination of everybody, Pierre Garçon, been doing it a long time, still doing it well. And you mentioned those tight ends, very dangerous.
They've got some great targets there. When you look at, you know, Cousins last year, the Packers sacked him 6 times in that playoff game. He's been sacked only 12 times this entire season. The sack percentages on both sides of the ball for the Redskins has been impressive.
Yeah, when you talk about giving up sacks, they rank number 2 in that sack percentage. And I think it's really a combination. Kirk Cousins doesn't hold the ball a long time, and they bootleg him and roll him out, things like that to take off the edge on pass protection. But the guys up front doing a pretty respectable job. And then on the other side of the ball, Redskins, 25 sacks already. That's a top 10 sack percentage figure. And those guys, while they don't have that overpowering talent, they work well together. And they've got two fellows, Ryan Kerrigan, Trent Murphy, that already have 7 sacks apiece. They're on pace for double-digit sack seasons. That says they know what they're doing when it comes to getting after the passer.
Yeah, they're getting it done, and hopefully the Packers can get it done today, and maybe a boost for that Packer defense as Clay Matthews looks like he might be playing tonight.
Yeah, I don't think the fact that the Packers' sack numbers are down as of late and the fact that Clay Matthews has not been playing, I don't think that's just a coincidence. He matters. If he doesn't get there himself, he's creating opportunities for others.
And then offensively, Aaron Rodgers might have a new weapon himself. Jared Cook, we haven't seen a lot of him. We heard a lot about him in the preseason, but we might see him on the field as well tonight.
Certainly, Ted, with Jared Cook, the potential is there for another weapon offensively. So far, as you mentioned, our sampling is small, but it's been very intriguing since the day Jared Cook came to Green Bay.
Still to come on Packers Today. When we come back, we'll take a closer look at Devontae Adams' start to the season. Plus, last week's game didn't go the way we wanted, but that doesn't mean there weren't some good moments. Larry's all fired up to show you a run play involving Brian Bulaga. As we head to break, here's a look at the series matchup between the Packers and the Redskins.
How good has Devontae Adams been in the last month or so? Wow.
Big time good.
This is the guy they drafted. This is what they thought Devontae Adams would become.
Quite the start to the 2016 season for wide receiver Devontae Adams. Here's a look at his numbers through the first nine games of each of his first three seasons. Already in 2016, Devontae Adams has six touchdowns. That's fourth best in the NFL. And he's set single-game career highs for receptions and yards receiving.
Well, Devontae has certainly answered a lot of questions maybe people had about him coming into this season. But I think a big part of that has to do with the trust he and Aaron Rodgers have developed.
Ted, a great example of that came in the Titans game in the third quarter when Aaron Rodgers hit Devontae down the sideline for 35 yards. If you look at that play closely, Aaron Rodgers is focused in on the right side of the field. And he just turns and without even seeing Devontae, launches that pass. And he was counting and trusting on Devontae to run a little stop and go pattern and to be right where he was supposed to be. That is trust. And Devontae Adams, that play is one of the reasons he's earned it.
Well, what makes a difference? Is it just a matter of experience being out there year after year?
Well, if you watch wide receivers year in and year out, usually it takes a little time. You can go back to Jordy Nelson's early career or Randall Cobb's early career. But the other thing with Devontae is last year he was fighting injuries almost from the get-go. And to his credit, he stayed out there, but he was playing at less than full go and was really struggling with injuries. Now he's healthy, and now he's playing with a great deal of confidence.
Well, Devontae's already got a couple of 10-plus reception games this season. Let's hope he can do it again tonight against the Redskins. He's always making big plays. What other big plays did you see last week against the Titans?
Well, not a big play when you look at number of yards, but a big play nonetheless. If you'll recall, Ted, it's fourth and one, third quarter. The Packers are on their own 31. It is 35-16. Basically, at this point, it is the ball game. They have to get this fourth and one. They go student body right, total zone to the right. And Brian Bulaga looks outside, nothing coming. He turns up on a linebacker, Avery Williamson, the Titans' leading tackler. This guy has got to be blocked. Bulaga attacks him, gets on him. And Williamson actually has a chance to make the play. He's got that kind of angle, but Brian is applying and exerting such pressure on him that he can't get off him. And then when Williams tries to spin out of the block, Brian Bulaga brings 315 pounds of romping, stomping fury down on the linebacker. James Starks goes for 7 yards, first and 10 Green Bay. The drive ended with a touchdown. We asked Brian about putting that linebacker in the dirt and on the ground.
When you got a guy moving like that, especially a linebacker that doesn't weigh as much as those D linemen, you got them rolling and you can put them down. You definitely want to do that. It wears on them a little bit. I mean, they're always putting punishment on the running backs and hitting them, so it's our job to give it back to them a little bit and put some punishment on them and put them on the ground.
I love when you talk about offensive linemen. You really get fired up.
You got a problem with that?
I don't. No, okay. Sir.
Still to come, when injuries test your depth, it's good to know the next man up is ready. Case in point, offensive lineman Don Barclay. When we return, Larry takes a closer look at Barclay's game and this week's Chalk Talk. As we head to break, the tale of the tape in this week's matchup against the Redskins. We'll be right back. Thank you. Welcome back. You're watching Packers Today, presented by Verizon.
Living here and being from here and going and playing in Green Bay definitely has opened my eyes to the Cheesehead Nation that's here locally. I'm excited to be a part of it.
Looks like everyone had a good time at the Packers Everywhere Pep Rally at the Wild Horse Saloon in Tennessee last week. If you want to connect with fans out of town, check out PackersEverywhere.com. Let's get back to some football now. It's time to take a look at the Chalk Talk brought to you by Sandwich Bros. Larry, what do you have for us?
Stepping up, easy to say, not so easy to do. Here is the standard the Packers set for their backup players.
When I get my opportunity and I step out on that field, I have to, there can be no drop off.
Don Barclay's opportunity came just 1 minute and 43 seconds into the Titans game when T.J. Lang was injured and out. Tennessee challenges with unconventional alignments combined with stunts and blitzes. Barclay was up to that challenge.
Here's the snap. Backpedals, throws the left side, got Jody at the 40, outside the numbers 45. At the midfield marker, first down, Green Bay.
He also saw his fair share of Jarrell Casey, the Titans' best defensive player. Barclay drove him into the dirt, and when pulling, he rooted Casey out of the hole and then some. Game conditions demanded plenty of pass protection, and that's when Barclay blended technique with his trademark tenacity. Bottom line, Don Barclay stepped up.
Lost the left sidelines. Over the Seattle.
T.J. Lang goes down, and Don Barclay has got to be ready at all times, doesn't he?
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm ready. Coach Campbell does a great job, and, you know, teammates as well, you know, getting the reps during the week, you know, just mentally preparing for the opportunity.
When we come back, Packer greats Donald Driver and Mark Lee are set to join one of the most exclusive clubs in all of football. Plus, who's keeping a tab on Redskins receiver Jamison Crowder? Larry reveals one of his key matchups when Packers Today return. Earlier this week, it was announced that wide receiver Donald Driver and cornerback Mark Lee will be inducted into the Green Bay Packers Hall of Fame next summer. Driver played in 205 games during his 14-year Packers career. He retired as the Packers' all-time leader for receptions with 743 and receiving yards with 10,137. Donald also scored 62 touchdowns. A four-time Pro Bowl selection, Driver is also a Super Bowl 45 champion.
I'm going to cherish this moment for the rest of my life. This moment, you know, I've always said this, is that if I never, ever got into, like, the NFL Hall of Fame, if I ever get into the Packer Hall of Fame, that was good enough for me. To receive this honor is special.
Cornerback Mark Lee was a model of consistency during his 11 seasons with the Packers. Lee intercepted 31 passes during his career, which ranks second all-time among Packer corners and eighth overall. Known as one of the best bump-and-run corners of his time, Lee recorded 104 passes defensed. A durable performer, he missed only 8 games during his Packers career.
I was stunned, to tell you the truth. I always wanted to be in it. It's always in the back of your head. I was just so excited that kind of speechless at the time, and I just said to myself, you know, balled my fist up and said yes.
Congratulations to both Mark and Donald on the Packers Hall of Fame.
Very well deserved.
Absolutely. Now we turn our attention back to tonight's primetime matchup, Packers-Redskins. What's the matchup you're looking for?
I think a matchup that'll be interesting, and we talked about it earlier. The Redskins slot receiver, Jamison Crowder, one of the game's best at that position. And, of course, when the Packers go nickel, the slot guy is Micah Hyde. So Micah Hyde doing battle with Jamison Crowder should be very interesting.
No pressure tonight. Bring home a win, all right?
Okay.
All right. For Larry McCarron, I'm Ted Stefaniak. Thanks for watching Packers Today. We'll see you next week, everybody.